I have you in this church, so many friends here, just made them all these years. All these years putting up with me.
Any other old people want to testify? Praise the Lord for testimonies. Been faithful for year after year after year, and thank God for folks like that. Anybody else? All right. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Miss Myra. Not so old lady in our church. Miss Cynthia had to go home while I go sick, so pray for her in special prayer, if you would, tonight. Anybody else? Should have got a microphone so you can be heard better. Anybody else? Open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Let me read one verse tonight. Ephesians, chapter 6. Which talks about the whole armor of God, the latter part of it does. And I was talking about this morning, standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ, having a moral backbone to stand. And he says, we've done all you need to know to do, just stand. And that's a tremendous admonition. It's a tremendous command. How many times in the Bible does God say, just stand? He told Moses when it looked like an impossibility and they could not cross the Red Sea, God said, Moses, just stand still. And then he said, see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. And God did a miraculous thing. It was God who opened up the Red Sea, and he rolled back on both sides where all the Jewish people went across on dry land and being able to be preserved miraculously by God. And when Pharaoh and his army tried to do it, God just spoke to the waves and they come rolling back down. And I've read historically, it may be true, they found pieces of chariot wheels years ago. How true that is, I'm not sure. But it makes sense. If all that destruction took place, the Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea, that there may be remnants of it still left today. But we need to stand. We don't all know to do stand. The toughest thing in the world sometimes to do is just stand. He talks about putting on the shield of faith and having that shield that sometimes went from here to the ground. I think it was called a shoot 'em or a shut 'em. And it would be able to ward off the fiery darts of the wicked one. And so it'd be clothed with some leather and some fur. And when the fiery darts of the wicked one were shot at you, it hit this vest-like instrument they had that covered them, the shield of faith. And they were able to put out the fiery darts by resisting it with the shield of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the fact is, every one of us needs to have more faith. But in chapter 6 and verse 16, let's stand together for reading of the Word of God for just one verse. Chapter 6, verse 16. Above all, take the shield of faith. Above everything else that you're doing, withstanding and standing, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked or the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Lord, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But emphasis on verse 16, I was moving that way this morning. Never did get there, I don't think. The fiery darts of the wicked. The fiery darts of the wicked. Standing in the midst of the storm, staying in the midst of tribulation, staying in the midst of trials and heartaches and troubles. I'm glad God helps us to stand. We cannot make it without Him. And when you've done all you know to do to stand, Just stand and be quiet and be still and see what God's up to. It's amazing the power of God that's demonstrated. Father, I need your help tonight. I pray you'll take the brokenness of this voice. May you be able to use me for your honor, for your glory. And Father, we'll thank you for it. Sure do love you and thank you for loving us. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the privilege of being in the house of God on the Lord's night. And I pray you'll speak to us for just a few moments from the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray and for His sake. Amen. Amen. May be seated. Just recently my esophagus surgery. He said, I want you to be sure when you go home to drink a lot of Pepto-Bismol. Drink any kind of melanum you can find that cools the stomach and soothes the stomach, because we cut a lot of stuff out of you. And they're burning off the material that could lead to cancer, I guess, is the whole idea. And so drinking water really is an asset. I'm grateful for that. But I've drank already 22 quarts. That's a lie, so we're not telling a lie. I remember working years ago with a man who drank Pepto-Bismol, had ulcers. And he wouldn't go to the doctor. He just drank Pepto-Bismol until it cured it. Now, I'm not recommending that as a doctor's order. I know it can be used for other things, but it sure does feel good when your stomach is burning and when they cut stuff from the inside off. And I've been through several of these things already. I'm not trying to labor the point. Just the fact I got some more to do. And but when he cuts a lot of that material off, it burns every time I drink something. No matter what it is or eat something, it burns all the way down. So excuse me if I am not in my best tonight. That may be a lot of times. I just need your help. Thank God for His power. Thank God for His presence. Thank God for His love that's always abounding. This morning I was talking about the reasons for having moral backbone. When you know I ought to stand, stand. Sometimes you just got to stand with a moral backbone and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to do what's right regardless of what the world says. And we stand in faith alone. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I said, number one, the reason why you ought to stand because of His excellency. Psalms chapter 8, verses 1 and verse 9. His name is excellent. He's never done anything bad to me, never done anything that would hurt me. You say, have you ever been hurt by God? If I've been hurt, it's been by His permission, not because He doesn't love me. He loves me. And that dawned on me a few months ago, and I preached on it several times, and I'll probably preach on it some more. He just loves me. To get under the umbrella of the love of God is a tremendous thought. And because He is the excellent one, He's worthy of me standing. The devil's done nothing good for me. I said this morning, I know of nothing except the devil accuses me before the Father. And the Father says, that's my child. I love him. And Satan himself has access to tell God, the accuser of the brethren. Every time you do something wrong, the devil has a way of accusing you to the Father. And the Father still loves us. And I'm glad I've been justified in the eyes of God. I'm glad God is my Savior. I'm glad the Lord loves me. So I should stand up for Him. Stand up for Jesus. Why? Because He is the excellent one. He is the superior one. He is the majesty of majesty, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. And the devil has never done anything good for me. I said this morning, and I'm not trying to repeat, just repeating, you see, I'd like to punch the devil right in the face. I'd like to wrestle with the Satan if I could, but I can't. Well, you say, won't you try it? I don't want to try it. I've tried and failed to defeat the devil in the flesh. It won't work. And sometimes you want to get a hold of it. If you could get the devil and get him in your hands, he visualized himself, and you saw the actual devil in your hand, you could take him and maybe beat the devil out of the devil. Wouldn't that be good? Just beat him up real good. But I'm telling you tonight, you can't do it. We're talking about a supernatural power the devil has. He has more power than you would ever imagine. As a matter of fact, I believe he had power next to God in heaven. He was a supreme figure in the heavens before creation. Lucifer was his name. He's called in Luke 14, I believe it is. And the great musician of the creation of God. But lifted up in pride, he said, I'll do this, and I'll overcome God, and I will be God. And Satan's whole desire is to be worshipped. That's why the Antichrist will be worshipped in the coming days ahead, when a man who is personified with the Antichrist is going to be worshipped in Jerusalem, not as Jesus Christ, but as the man that's made it here, the man the devil has infiltrated to be worshipped, and how sad it is that we have that kind of man living perhaps today. Somebody asks you the question all the time, is the Antichrist living today? Well, I don't know for sure, but I'm sure he could be. Readily so. He come on the scene very quickly, especially with all the wars and rumors of wars in the Mideast and all those things that are supposed to transpire. And when the peace treaty comes with Israel, and they have peace for 3.5 years, they'll think everything's going to be utopia, it's going to be great. And then the Antichrist reveals himself as the abomination and desolation of Israel. But I'm here to say tonight, I'm no match for the devil. I've been battling a long time, ever since I was a kid. I've been in the battle. Didn't realize all about it as I got older and learned more Bible. Didn't understand all the trials and troubles you get. And as you get older, you'll have more trials and more troubles. Did you know you'll have more temptations when you're older than when you're younger? You say, preacher, I'm having a lot of temptation. I'm just a young person. When you get older, you're going to have a lot more temptations. I mean, sometimes you wonder if they ever go away. Because as you're getting older, you got more perplexity and more complexity. You have more problems. You have more things you have to attend to. You have more things that attack your body. You have more diseases. So you're battling the physical and the emotional and all the other battles that sometimes rage in your life. And you say, Lord, where are you at? And the Lord may not answer. He may be silent, but he's standing somewhere in the shadows. He's always there. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of this world. So I want to stand up for Jesus because he's excellent. I want to stand up for Jesus because it's essential to salvation. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. A public confession that Jesus Christ is my Savior. That's standing up for Jesus Christ. When you take a stand for Jesus Christ and you get saved, you say, I am not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're ashamed of Jesus tonight, either you're cold and indifferent towards God or you've not been saved. But the Bible says that whosoever is called upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Once was blind, but now I see. And I'm glad tonight that I can say I've made a public confession over the years. And I've put a crystal on that, or put maybe a stamp of approval upon it when I yielded to God and got baptized. And my daddy baptized me in the Boy Scout Lake outside of Beckley, West Virginia. Remember the day vividly when Dad baptized me, and I'm grateful that he did. And then later on when I was in Israel, I got baptized in the Jordan River. I thought that would be unique, and it was for me. A former pastor of our church here, Richard Adams, baptized me. He was a big old guy, redheaded guy. Some of you know him. He's in heaven now. But I said, Richard, would you mind baptizing me? He said, I'll baptize you, keep you under the water. I'll drown you if you want me to. But I walked out in the Jordan River as a young man, young preacher, and was baptized in Jordan River. That didn't make me any better than anybody else, being baptized twice. But I'm grateful to God for the privilege of being able to stand in these days. The years have come and gone. My hair is silvered over, the wrinkles in my brow, and sometimes my step gets slow. Just like some of you in this room tonight, I sit on the platform sometimes, watch you. It's just a good way to put it. I watch you wobble in. You wobble in, you wobble out. The old body ain't what she used to be. The old gray mare ain't what she used to be. But God's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he said he'd take care of us, and that testing of your faith becomes stronger, and the fiery darts increase, and you're having attacks from the satanic powers of the world. And Satan is the god of this world and the god of the age, and he does everything he can to ruin, wreck, and destroy you. And just in case you don't know, the devil don't love you. God loves you, and it's written in red all the way through the Bible, for God so loved the world. But the devil does not love you. The devil wants to ruin, wreck, and destroy your soul in hell. And if he does not get you and you get saved, you're going to heaven. And that makes him even madder. So if he can't convert you back, he'll try to divert you with various darts of the wicked one. See, he cannot capture your soul. You're sealed unto the day of redemption. And I'm glad God's given the down payment. The Holy Ghost of God who dwells on the inside of our body gives the assurance and the guarantee everything's right on target. Everything's all right. So yes, when you come down to die, you are a winner the other way. Either way, doesn't matter. Thank you, Judy, for the song. Tommy mentioned that to me this week already, I think, over the telephone. I'm a winner either way. He said it to me oftentimes in this process of supposed to be dying. I think he's probably more alive than some of us are, it seemed like at times. But his day will come and my day will come, and we are a winner either way we go. Whether we live, Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Whether I die is gain because I get through this world. Lay my sword down by the riverside to study war no more. Enter into the bosom of God's love for eternity and being with Him throughout all the vastest ages to come. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I'm sure glad my name has been penned in the book of life. Amen. I'm glad I'm there. I'm glad that God has sealed me with His wonderful promise, and one day I'll arrive in heaven, and so may you. D.L. Moody said, after, when he was preaching one time, he said, you'll see in the newspaper someday that D.L. Moody has died. He said, don't you believe it. I'll be more alive on that day than ever before. I'll be resting in the presence of the Lord and the joy bells of heaven ringing in my soul to know all is well. One day the nail-scarred hand of Jesus will stand in our presence. I don't know how He's going to do it with millions and millions of people, but He'll do it. And He'll say, come into my Father's house. There's many mansions I've made for you and for every individual. I want you to come. And when He raises His hand, it's the nail-scarred hand of Jesus Christ that's given the okay to come on in. And when we get to heaven, I'm not sure how all that's going to transpire to Judgment Day, but He's prepared for us from the foundation of the world. We were on His mind before there ever was a man born in this world or made in this world. We were on His mind before creation ever hung its stars in the black night time, or the sun shone by day and the moon shone by night. He was on our mind. We were on His mind. And on the Calvary's cross, we were on the mind of Christ. He had my mind. He had my name and your name placed upon the chest and the breastplate. We was there representing ourselves in our presence of our sins. Our sins nailed Jesus to the cross of Calvary. What kept Him there? It was not the Roman soldiers. It was not anybody's power. He stayed there because He loved us. He could have called 10,000 legions of angels down from heaven, and they were ready with sword-drawn swords all around Jerusalem, ready to do whatever He said. All Jesus had to do was... And like a fleeting army of soldiers, those angels would burst out of the horizon and come and took Him down from the cross. All had to say, come, angel band, round me stand. But He was willing to take our sins and nail them to the cross of Calvary and pay a price we could not pay, because it's essential to my salvation to make a public confession and to say that I'm on the Lord's side, and to know that that public confession is to radiate that others may know that Christ is in me, the hope of glory. My question is this: do others know you are a Christian? Would they be surprised if we told them that you were a Christian, or would they say, boy, if there ever was a Christian, he's a Christian or she's a Christian? That's the testimony that we left behind. We should leave behind, like Enoch of old. He left a testimony behind that he walked with God. Because it's essential salvation, and because of the enemies of Jesus Christ, I should stand. We're soldiers. And the Bible says, endure hardness as a good soldier. And it says to fight a good warfare. Over in Timothy twice talks about the warfare and being a soldier of the Lord Jesus. We're compared to a lot of things in the Bible, and I've got seven sermons on what we're compared to. They all start with this. But the one that I mentioned tonight is that we're soldiers. We're sheep. We're soldiers. We're sheep. And the other six just left my mind. But we're compared to several things in the Word of God. But especially are we sheep. The Lord's my shepherd. But we're also His wonderful soldiers that stand alert, stand at attention. Who's on the Lord's side? We stood this morning and sang Amazing Grace together. Who's on the Lord's side? I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Would you be willing to stand up anywhere, any place, and say, I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ? You say, they'll laugh at me. They laughed at Jesus. Are you any better than He? Well, they make fun of me. Or they'll mistreat me. They'll mock me. They'll laugh at me. They'll make fun of me. They'll ridicule me. Did they not to Jesus? He said, come follow me. Come follow me. The Apostle Paul said, follow me. Talking about Paul following Paul. And then he said, as I follow Christ. Don't follow me if I'm not following Christ. But if I'm following Christ, follow like I'm walking after Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. And sometimes we're going to face persecution and heartaches and troubles like we never imagined. I keep saying that over the last several years as persecution intensifies around the world. But these reasons for moral backbone is because He's worthy of it. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner. His cause must not suffer loss. What are the realms of moral backbone? Where should we stand before those fiery darts are thrown at us? Learn how to stand allegiance to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He demands the first place in our life. First place in our life. Boy, that's a big one. He demands priority in our life. In all things, He may have preeminence in our life. And sometimes we push to the backgrounds and we give God leftovers. I like leftovers. I've eaten leftovers many times over the years. My mama could take leftovers and make a lot of soup out of it and still do good in the second, third time around. But I like freshness. Nothing better than having a first-rate meal and right off the stove. It's not a leftover. But sometimes we give the Lord leftovers. I've been married now, Nancy and I have since 1968. That's 54 years, 50-some years. It's been over 50 years. It's been a bunch of years. And she said she was an old woman, and I'm an old man. I've been married now all these many years. We're still together by the grace of God. And I'm grateful that we are. But the fact is, it's just a sign that I'm going to trade her in. What I'm going to do is have somebody 5 days a week and have somebody on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm going to have two women in my life. And I'm going to go to Nancy and say, Nancy, we've been married a long time. Won't you understand this? I'm going to have a woman for five days, and then on the weekend, I'll have another one. And then I'll have you rather on the weekend. Nancy stands about 5'5". She weighs about 40 pounds. She'll say, big boy, you see that foot? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you better get your heart right or you're going to get kicked with it very quickly. And you'll be kicked out of the house. I don't think any woman would tolerate a man having two lovers. Don't you agree? We'll be devoted to the one we're married to. That's essential and important. And the Lord wants us to realize that He demands first place in our life. A lot of folks have a relationship with the Lord. They love Him on certain days of the week. And on the Lord's Day, all the morning glory has come out and they worship the Lord. Not everybody can come out every service, but thank God for those that do. But you see that trend in big churches, little churches, matter not what it is. As the ages roll, some attendance in evening services gets smaller and smaller. And that's sad. The largest attended class ought to be Wednesday night. Ought to be the one that we all shoot for if we can make it. All of us be lined up, ready to serve God. We're soldiers getting our weaponry shined up, getting instructions to go fight the battle. It's not a Sunday school picnic. It's not a time when we just party all the time. And I'm glad for parties. I'm glad for times to just laugh and throw back your hair. And as you get older, you're glad to throw back your hair. As you get older, you're glad to throw back your hair because you seem to lose some of it. But it's good to let down your hair, maybe that's a better way to say it. But we ought to rejoice and be glad. But the fact is, the battle is getting worse and worse. So we need His help. And I just want to mention a couple of fiery darts and we'll go to the house. There's a real devil, first of all, a real devil. Amen. He is not a figment of our imagination. Neither is he a man running around in a red suit with a long tail and a pitchfork in his hand and horns on his head going around saying boo. Our conception of the devil is always a picture of somebody like that, a heinous creature. But the Bible says the devil can transform himself into an angel of light. He can look so beautiful while he's getting ready to stab you in the spiritual heart. He can look attractive to you. And sometimes we get deceived by the devil because he's the great deceiver. He is a liar, and the Bible says he is. He is the greatest liar in all the world. It is not presidential candidate Harris. It's the devil who's the greatest liar in the world. I've never seen so many politicians lie. And remember when they open their mouth, usually on both sides, they're lying about something. But I'm glad there's one who never lies. And he says, I am the way and the truth. The truth. And he does not lie, but the devil does. And he's the deceiver. He told even in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were in the blessed paradise of God, the devil lied and deceived. This is what God said. It's what Eve said, and the devil says, this is what God meant. Yes, the devil said to Eve, they talked to each other, and he tempted her to take of the forbidden fruit and eventually would and give to Adam his he ate, and they both were plunged into depravity, especially Adam. The whole human race was depraved. How sad it is. But the fiery darts of the wicked are these: denial, deceit, and doubt. And for three things the devil works on are these, at least I find it true. He denied there is a God. He believes there's a God, James chapter 2, verse 19. The Bible says the devils believe in God and tremble. But he don't want you to believe there's a God. He wants you to believe it's a fairy tale. He wants you to think it's a figment of your imagination. He does not want you to believe God. I've never seen God face to face. I've never touched God with these mortal hands. But I know there's a God. How do you know there's a God? Because in the beginning, God. You say, but that's Bible. Well, hallelujah for Bible. And the Bible says that in the beginning, God. So he stepped out of nothing and made everything. And it's just simply wrote the Bible for us. In the beginning, God created. Well, how do you know that? The Bible says without faith, impossible to please God. So I have this big shield in front of me. It's called faith. And I'm marching into battle. And the devil's going to shoot fiery, wicked, fiery darts at me. Well, how do you know there's a God? Because the Bible says so. And because I have faith in God. Well, that seems sort of simplistic. Welcome to the club. If you want me to figure out God, I cannot do that because I don't know enough sense to figure out God. I'm just a creature made by God. And I said the other night, I'm just a dust ball. That's all I am. That's all you are. You're a dust ball. And the breath of God's in your life. And God loves you. He's made you into something beautiful and loving. And that's the creation of God. And yet sometimes in our Christian walk with God, we begin to doubt there is a God. You'd be surprised at the people out in the world who used to believe what you believe, but now don't believe it. They don't know if there is a God, and they say, well, I used to believe that, but I don't believe it anymore. Why don't you believe it? Well, God lied to me. God said he would supply all of my needs, and he didn't do it. And they begin to attack God, and the devil, he sits back and laughs because of his fiery dart. There is no God, and he believes there's a God, but he don't want you to believe there's a God. And the devil trembles in the presence of God. And one day, somewhere in the annals of history, prophecy speaking, he'll be placed in the lake of fire forever. I mean, he's going to be there forever. And the devil will be cast along with the false prophet into the lake of fire. And they shall burn forever and forever and forever and forever in a place called hell. And no individual ought to go there. Because God never intended for hell to be for individuals. Amen. The Bible says hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And if anybody goes there, they'll go as an intruder over the grace of God, over the power of God. Yes, he's reserved it for the day of judgment. Yes, they will go to hell because of their punishment. But that's not what he wants. God loves every individual, wants them to be saved. Are you glad to be saved? Are you glad to be on your way to heaven? Are you glad to be one of God's children? Are you a child of the King? Then let's say thank God for God. And devil, I believe there is a God. You can cast all the fiery darts you want to make my mind doubt. But I'm going to go back to the Word of God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that mind can be saturated with the Word of God. And I can walk out of this building not to say, I know there's a God. You see, how you know there's a God? Because the Bible says so. And that's settled. You don't have to debate it. It's not up for us to decide. We're not in a voting contest. He's not being voted on in the presidential race tonight. God's always been, always will be. Thank God one day we'll see him face to face. But until then, I've never seen God. But oh, he's seen me. He sees me. He sees me when I'm up. He sees me when I'm down. He sees me when I can't go on. He sees me when I'm slow down. He sees me when the attacks of the devil come. He sees me. He knows me. He loves me. He cares for me. He walks with me. He talks with me. I may not understand it. I may not always feel it. And sometimes you try to base your Christianity on feelings. It's not by feelings. It's by faith. If you try to live by feelings, you're going to get deceived. You say, well, I don't feel good. It's not a matter of how you feel. You just have faith. Amen. Without faith, the impossible pleases God. Sometimes my emotions are high. Sometimes they're low. Sometimes I'm down, sometimes I'm up. But I'm glad God's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So that now there is a God, the devil will throw that fiery dart at you and hit the breastplate that you have and put the fire out. By faith, the shield of faith, the shield of faith. He'll deny there is a devil. The devil will deny there is a devil. All the devil is this fairy tale character I mentioned a while ago. So he'll deny. Now, you little kids who believe there's a devil, there's not a real devil. It's just a cartoon character. I believe the devil is a hideous, hellish character. I believe he has second in power to God Almighty himself. I believe he was an angel that once lived in heaven and was over lots of other angels. But he fell. And he left his first estate But when he said, I want to be like God, I want to be more powerful than God, I'm going to ascend above God, I will be God, that's my desire. And the devil and all of his cohorts and all the fallen angels and the demons of hell are set out to ruin, wreck, and destroy you. So there's not a God and there's not a real devil. It's just something to sing about, as we did with Larry Cox years ago. We put him in a box in Bible school. And we threw away the key. If you were there years ago when Larry played the devil, dressed up like the devil, looked like the devil. He looked better then than he does now. But we captured him in Bible school. Put him in a box, locked the box, and forgot him. And what really happened, we forgot he was there. He was laying in that box. One had died, sitting in the box waiting for us to get him out. But finally, we got the devil out of the box, and the devil's been around now for quite a while. He's incognito tonight. The devil was real. And we wanted to have the emphasis of the kids to know that he's just not somebody you can play around with. And the first time I ever saw a Ouija board was in a Christian group. You say, well, Christian kids don't get around that kind of stuff. Oh, yes, they do. Yeah. You'd be surprised where they find out some fun and thrills and anxieties and curiosity. I'd already started preaching the first time I put my hand on a Ouija board. I never knew what a Ouija board was. They said it could tell you fortune, tell you future. Ask it a question. I asked the question, where am I going tonight to preach? And it told me what city I was going to on my hand. It sort of spelled it out for me. I got a little eerie. We had never heard of a Ouija board, but they've been around a long time now. Magic here, magic there, and all the satanic powers that's out there for the devil to use. And yet we sometimes play with them like they're just games. I was telling somebody this week about the cartoons, how they've invaded with so much of the devilish stuff. It's hard to see a good cartoon. I like Tom and Jerry. I like the rabbit and the mouse, or whatever it is, the rabbit chasing the mouse around. What's chasing the mouse around? Cat, yes, excuse me. I get them mixed up in my old age. They're just good cartoons. I love cartoons. I love Popeye. In my office, if you'll come by and look at the shelf, I've got a can of spinach in there. I'm ready anytime Popeye calls to pop my spinach, gobble it down, and show you my muscles as they sag from sag to sag. But there's nothing wrong with a good cartoon, but the devil likes to hinder that which is good and corrupt it so the kids get captivated and deceived and blinded by that which is not good. You got to be a monitor. You got to see what your kids are watching, what they're reading. He always attacks through the mind, and his fiery darts come at the theater right here. Your life is played on the theater, and the door's been open. The screen door, I'm looking for a word. The stage door's been open, and he's entered into your mind thinking. And if you're not careful, it'll captivate you. Young people love the curiosity. You get around darkness, devilish, hellish stuff. And the devil is playing a game. He's trying to destroy you by throwing his fiery darts at you. The devil will throw a dart and say, there's no hell. It's all just somebody made that up years ago. There's no place called hell. Now, I'm not going to spend eternity in hell. And you don't have to go to hell. You don't go there. That's just somebody got to preaching one day and they come up with this theory about a hell. Well, I say on record tonight, hell is not a theory, it's a fact. I say on record tonight, there is a hell, and the man who died, lift up his eyes, being in hell, being in torment, was the rich man, Luke 16. He died and lift up his eyes in hell, a place of abode of the wicked, the place where the devil and the demons will be. It's a place where sinners are going to be who reject Jesus Christ as Savior. The fiery dart is sent at it. He'll send a fiery dart and say your sin will not find you out. I heard my daddy preach a sermon years ago called, I Wish I Wore the Devil. If I Wore the Devil, what would I do? If I Wore the Devil. If I Wore the Devil, I would tell folks, you can get by with sin. You don't get by with it. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's true of me, it's true of you. A little boy was getting ready to go swimming. And his daddy saw him and said, son, I want you to go plant the corn before you go swimming. The little boy said, I'll take care of it, daddy. He said, don't forget now, plant the corn. Then you can go swimming. He had his swim shorts with him and ready to go to get in the creek and to swim. But he wanted to go now, and his dad turned around and went back the other way. The boy went on the field, dug a hole, poured all the seed in that one hill and covered it up. And his daddy saw him later and said, "Son, did you plant the corn?" He said, "Oh, yes, I did." A few days later, he called his son in again and said, "Son, did you plant the seed I told you to?" He said, "Yes." So he said, "What's all this coming up out of the ground?" "Every seed I gave you, you put in one hole and covered it with the dirt, and it's all coming up at the same time." The disobedience. Oh, the finding out didn't come for a while. He got to swim and enjoy the swimming. He enjoyed the pleasure for a while. But D-Day came, and he had to face the consequences of his situation. Deny that sin will find you out. It does. It finds all of us out. It will do you, do you, do me. The dart of denial, the dart of deceit, the dart of doubt. I go on and on with various fiery darts he has. I just simply want to leave with you tonight that the weapons of our warfare are carnal. Ours are not carnal. Ours are spiritual. We can't fight with physical weapons. If I could, I would, but I can't. So easy sometimes to give in to the flesh. And the flesh will fail you so many times as we've fallen. We've got to ask God for His forgiveness and cleansing. But the reality is the fiery darts of the wicked one are constantly being sent at us. We have the shield of faith to wear, and when they tell me in battle, those soldiers can line up side by side and sort of lock together. And their shields are all locked from head cover here. They got your helmet on their head, their helmet of salvation. But those shutters are there. Every soldier's got them about the width of his body and the length of his body. And when they begin to throw the fiery darts and send them at the soldiers, they're hooked together. They're living together. They're serving together. They're just a defense. And all the fiery darts that are sent through the air can hit them and penetrate. But it can't destroy because it goes out. They're wet. The fur is wet. The shield is wet. And they're going forth into battle. And when you have all the soldiers going forth into battle, what a tremendous battle it's going to be. The battle is the Lord's. He says, stand together. When you've done all you know to do, stand. And when you've done what you know to do, just stand. And put up your shield of faith. And when the devil attacks you, you push the faith out in front. I don't know the way through the wilderness, but I know who to follow. I don't know all the answers to the questions, but I know who can solve the problem, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad He made a difference in my life. Amen. And over these years, all the demons of hell, they sent their fiery darts. And sometimes you wonder, will I make it the next battle? And sometimes battles come in sort of a conglomerate, a whole group together. Sometimes they come individually, but sometimes they come many at a time. I'll tell you what, sometimes it gets so heavy you wonder, am I going to crack? Sometimes you wonder, can I make it the next day? Lord, where are you at? And the Lord is always present. He always hears the cry of His children. You say, why don't He do something? He is. Well, when's He going to do it? I don't know. That my faith has to trust Him. Stand still and trust God. You say, but it'd be good if He let me know what's going on. It may be bad for you to know what's going on because it may get worse before it gets better. Cheer up, it could be worse. I cheered up and it got worse. Well, just trust God through the thin, the thick, and the big, and the little, and the heartaches, the little thing. And what I found over my lifetime, sometimes it's the little battles that get you. Not just the big battles, but the little battles. And the devil likes to attack on every way he can. So if he can break down the chain around you, if he can break one link, He's opened up the whole shebang. He knows exactly what He's doing. He's a master at it. He never gives up. And I close with this. He asked a lady, he said, how come you can say something good about everybody? She says, well, I just try to see the good side of everybody. She never said anything bad about anybody. And they said, if the devil were here, you'd say something good about the devil. She says, well, you'll probably. Well, what would you say about the devil that's good? Well, he's always on the job. That's a comment to the devil, but it's a destructive force to us. He's on the job. I don't know how he operates with all of his mafia that's listed to us in Ephesians 6 and all the different levels, but those principalities are first, the governments. And maybe he comes from the top down, but the bottom up, whichever way it is, and tries to destroy our government, destroy our freedom and our democracy. Whatever the devil tries to do, God's not winking at him and God's not letting him by. Yeah. judgment day is coming. I'm just glad to be on the Lord's side tonight. Amen. I rattled around for a few weeks or a few days or a few hours and trying to preparation for the sermon over this week. I've crossed several thoughts that crisscrossed my mind and trying to get them all together. Hadn't done too good a job with it, but the fact is I know the devil's after me and God's already got me. I know the devil hates me and God loves me eternally. I know that I'm on the winning side. I'm not going to lose. And I am a winner either way. And thank God for old people like Judy saying it from time to time. Just to remind us that we're on the winning side. Aren't you glad to be on the winning side? Stand together, please, if you would. I'm on the winning side. Father, take the broken, frail comments of this preacher tonight. May there be one thought that could echo and reverberate in the mind and soul of individuals as we leave in just a few moments. Something we will need this week before the week is over. Lord, our testing time comes. We may not be tempted by the Lord because that would be a violation of His character, but He will allow us to go through tests and trials to make us better. God, we're grateful tonight for your blessings to us in the midst of it all. You're in the midst of it all. In the midst of it all, you said you was in the midst. Or two or three gathered together, you're in the midst. Lord, may you be here tonight in the midst of it all. May we leave with a declaring call that we're in the Lord's army. And Lord, the fiery darts of the wicked one may come through doubt, through denial, through disturbance of our inner soul. And Lord, Job's a classic illustration. Never a man suffered like Job did, and he came forth in power and purity. Help us tonight to do your will. Give us a revival in the midst of the years and wrath, remember mercy. Bless, we pray, the invitation, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. As we sing together, as we stand together and sing together, a song of invitation. If you need to come, you come. The devil's going to attack you. If not tonight, he will tomorrow. All of us need reinforcement, the shield of faith, to fight off the fiery darts.